chapter 1, First Peter chapter 1. Hallelujah.
Amen.
First Peter chapter 1, we're going to begin reading at verse 15. I tell you what, let's back up to verse 13. It's kind of hard to not include all this. Therefore, gird up your loins and your mind, be sober and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, "Be holy, for I am holy." And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by the traditions of your father, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundations of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you, Lord, that we were redeemed with the blood of Christ and that this is all for us, Lord. And we just give you the praise that you loved us so much that you gave your very best. In Jesus' name, amen. If you were wanted to buy something expensive, you'd ask yourselves a couple of questions. Number one, you'd ask, first of all, do I have enough money to buy it, right? And the second question you'd ask is, well, is it available to buy? You might see that it's available, but you don't have enough money. You might also see that you have enough money, but you can't find one. How many of you guys ever wanted to buy something you couldn't find? Go to the store and, oh, I'm sorry, we're all sold out of those. And you're like, well, where are those at? Last year at Ministry Appreciation Banquet, Carolyn, she really likes to decorate, likes pretty things, and she found at Walmart those little glass heart vases. Remember those we gave to some of you people? And so she became obsessed with finding enough for Ministry Appreciation Banquet. So she's calling every Walmart because we didn't have enough here. And so we've got them all, and we're one short. And I had on my job to go to Vanita, and she says, they have a Walmart Prior. Will you stop? And so on my way back, I had to stop at the Prior, and by golly, they had a whole bunch of them. All we needed was one. I got two or three just in case. You know, you can have the money but not be able to get it, or you can get it but can't find it, and vice versa. So you have to have it, the money, and it has to be available. Amen? Aren't you glad that salvation is available and the price has been paid? Amen? Praise God. This morning I want to talk to you about the three A's. The three A's. Number one, assurance. Assurance that God paid the price. Amen? He paid the price. The blood of Jesus Christ was the price. That's a high price to pay. You know, have you ever said to someone that was like giving you a hard time, what do you want from me, blood? Right? I mean, that's kind of the ultimate price, right, is your blood. I mean, if you give your blood, you've given it all, right? And God gave the blood of his son on an altar called a cross 2,000 years ago. He paid the price, and that gives me assurance that the price has been paid. Amen? The price was the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? I was listening to R.W. Shambach. I used to like to listen to him a lot. I haven't listened to him in years. He was talking about when he traveled with A.A. Allen, and there was some woman under one of those big tents that was demon-possessed. And he said, Brother Allen said, Shambok, this one's yours. He said, oh, Lord, what am I going to do now? So he starts praying, and this demon-possessed woman, and so then he started quoting blood verses. By his stripes we're healed. Purchased with the precious blood of Jesus. And those demons don't like that. He said, if you ever have to cast someone out, get you three women, good choir singers, preferably black, I'm quoting Shambok, okay, and have them sing blood songs while you're performing exorcism, and you can't go wrong. Now, the price is not works, the Bible says. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Right? If I could work at this thing, Jesus would not have had to die. You know, I can trust in my works in certain things. You know, someone said something about my programming ability, and I said, there isn't anything you can imagine for a Windows program that I can't write. You know, if you can imagine it, I can write it. Now, that's assurance, isn't it? That's assurance because I know that I have the knowledge to do that. Right? So I can trust in that. But I cannot trust in my works to get me to heaven. It doesn't matter how good a person I am. It doesn't matter how hard I work. I can feed the sick. I can go to foreign countries and eat worms as a missionary all my life. That won't get me to heaven. That won't get me in the right standing with God. It's never enough. It's never enough when it comes to works. So God did it all. He built a bridge between a holy God and me in the cross of Jesus Christ. And I have an assurance, amen, that it's paid for in the blood of Christ. Hallelujah. So it's not by works. Jesus said, don't rejoice that the demons are subject to you, but rejoice that your name is written in heaven. And why is my name written in heaven? Because Jesus wrote it in his own blood. Amen. The Bible says that the handwriting that was against you, you know what the handwriting against you is? It's every time the devil says to you, well, last week you said you wouldn't do this and you did it. You know, he's keeping books. But Jesus at the cross took the handwriting that was against you and he nailed it to the cross. Amen. And so the next time the devil starts talking about the handwriting, the journal he's keeping on what you did, say, oh, yeah, my big brother nailed that to the cross 2,000 years ago. Amen. Hallelujah. I have assurance. Assurance is defined as confident or certain. Certainty. People say, are you saved? They say, well, I think I am. You ain't saved. If you're saved, you're going to know it. You're going to be persuaded 100%. You're going to be certain. You're going to be confident. You're going to have assurance. Amen. Yeah, I'm saved. I can take you to the place. I can take you to the building in Bellevue, Nebraska. I don't think it's a church anymore. They build a new building, but the building, last time I checked, was there. I don't know what they got in there. I think they got a school. Might be kind of hard to find it if they've remodeled, but I could take you where the altar was. I could show you where I knelt, November 21st, 1979. That was the day that Roger was written in heaven in the blood of Christ. Amen? And you have your days. You have your places. You know, we rest on the assurance that God has paid the price in full. Amen? Stamp, paid in full. Praise God. Do you have an assurance this morning? Amen. Hallelujah. I mean, assurance, confident, certainty, confident, certainty. You know, everyone is prone to be depressed at times. You look at Moses, he got depressed. Many of the Bible characters got depressed. But when you know that you know that you know that eternity is your final destination, valleys aren't nearly as deep. Amen? You look at the history of some of the great characters of the Bible, they had ups and downs, but their emotions were level. See, I can, my, what goes on around me can cause me to be up or down, but when I have that assurance, my emotions remain level. And you always can recognize some of those old, usually they're old, because they've been through it all, saints of God, who've lived for God for decades, because they never get emotional. Well, bless God, I'm sure the Lord will work it out. But Grandma, I just told you. Well, bless God, I'm sure the Lord will work it out. Just be patient. You know, that's what we get the term patience of Job, you know. Because they have that assurance. They have walked the walk. They have talked the talk. They have put him to the test. And God always has been faithful. And so now they understand their assurance is in the blood of Jesus Christ. And God has got this thing. Amen? He's got this thing. Assurance. Confidence. Certainty. Certainty. Confidence that God has got it. I have assurance that God has paid the price. Amen? Praise God. How many of you guys have ever made reservations for something? Maybe you went on a trip, made hotel reservations or whatever. You know? Has anyone ever had anyone made them for you, paid for you to go somewhere? That'd even be cooler, wouldn't it? Oh, yeah. You go up and you say, you know, yeah, I'm staying in this 5-star hotel, Roger Jones. You know? Pay? Oh, no. My friend paid for it. Oh, just got a sign and walk in? Okay, I like that. Don't have to take my wallet out. You know, just walk on in. We get to heaven, you know. There's all kinds of jokes about Peter and the pearly gate. Those are silly. We just walk in. How can you do that? Because the price has been paid in advance. I have reservations at the 5-star hotel of heaven. I'm going to spend eternity with King Jesus. Number two. Access. Now see, just because you're saved doesn't mean that you're going to have victory if you don't understand the second and the third A. Once I got saved, I have access to God. Amen? Have you ever had no access? You ever been denied access? I'm sorry, you got to have a tie. You can't eat here if you don't have a tie. You know, some of those fancy restaurants. Got to have a tie. I'm sorry, sir. That's our policy. I was flying standby years ago because my brother was in American Airlines. I couldn't get on. I was stuck in Dallas trying to get to Tulsa, and I've been there since that morning, and I kept getting passed by because I was using one of his standby tickets, you know. And finally they said, well, you know, you pay the difference, you can go first class, but you got to have a tie if you're going to fly first class. I mean, that was if you were using one of their American Airlines things, because I guess you represented American Airlines, so you had to have a tie. Now, if someone just paid first class, they can wear anything. But I was flying standby. So finally, I'm desperate. I pay $20 for a taxi, go to a Sears, I buy a tie, put it on, pay $20 for a taxi. I mean, I might as well just took a bus. But I finally got on the plane, the last flight of the day, because I got a tie. You know, if you don't have a tie, you don't have access. It reminds me of a story about this truck driver who's driving to this town. And he's hungry, wants to eat. There's only one restaurant open. It's one of those 5-star hotels or restaurants. And they say, sorry, you can't eat here without a tie. Well, he's a truck driver. And he's talking like a truck driver. And he's yelling at the woman. I just want to eat. Let me in. I want to eat. And I'll be on my way. Sir, I'm sorry. And the manager's called over and all this ruckus. And he said, I'm sorry, sir. That's our policy. You know, we're five-star restaurant, you got to have a tie. You got to want to be seated here, you got to have a tie. And so he keeps screaming. They call the sheriff. And the sheriff comes. And this truck driver is screaming at him because he's a truck driver, you know. My dad was a truck driver. I know. That's how they talk. They scream. You kick them off, they're going to tell you how they think. And the sheriff says, well, sir, do you have anything in your truck, you know, a bolo tie, anything? And he goes out to his truck, comes back with some jumper cables tied around his neck. The manager says, I'm not going to let him in here like that. That's ridiculous. And he said, tells the manager, I'm going to let him sit, and you're going to make him do it. And he turns to the man and the truck driver, and the sheriff says, I'm going to let him seat you. You go in, get your food, eat, and whatever you do, don't start anything. Jumper cables, start, I know. The jumper cable's funnier than the punchline. All right. But aren't you glad that we have access? We have access. Now, here's the way we have access. When Jesus died on the cross, there was this thick veil that separated men from the Holy of Holies. Only one guy once a year was allowed to go in there, the high priest. Only one guy. Out of the entire planet, one guy could go in there. And then if he didn't go through all of the rituals, he could die. The high priest. But when Jesus died on that cross, oh, hallelujah. Listen to what I'm saying, saints. The veil didn't rip from the bottom up. You see, we don't build towers to God. That's man. God ripped the veil from the top to the bottom. Can I get an amen? I said God ripped that veil. And now we can come boldly into the throne room of grace because we have access to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, to the glory of God. And we can come boldly into the throne of grace and make our petition in prayer because once we have the assurance of salvation, then we have the access to the throne room of God. Glory to God. Hebrews 4:14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. Let us, that's you and me, therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Aren't you glad that he's pointing out grace and help in time of need? You see, just because I'm saved, I have assurance, and just because I have access through the torn veil doesn't mean that I'm not going to have problems. Every Christian has problems. The only difference between me and the guy on the street is I have access to the throne room of God. Amen? I can come boldly in. And if the devil said, well, you can't come boldly in. Maybe the preacher can, but you have impure thoughts, or you get mad, or you stumped your toe. You gave that guy a dirty look when he cut you off. I mean, those handwritings were nailed to the cross 2,000 years ago. I can come boldly into the throne room of grace. I can do it. And when I do, I come in as a saint of God by the blood of Jesus Christ. Glory to God. The resurrected Jesus. Remember when Jesus was raised and he comes showing himself to his disciples? He says, look, it's me. Stick your fingers in here. It's me. I'm here. It's different now. You see, something different happened after the resurrection. After the crucifixion, after the resurrection, something different happened that had never happened in the world. We read about it. It was called the mystery of godliness. Great is the mystery of godliness. And so because of this great mystery now, we can elbow with the God that made us. Think about it. We are on first name basis with the God who made us. We are elbowing with Jesus. We are his disciples. We are his friends. He said, I no longer call you servants. I call you friends. Amen? We are the friends of God. Something has changed. It's different now. I have access to God. Free access to God. When Carolyn, not long after Carolyn and I met, we went to Six Flags Over Texas. How many of you ever been to Six Flags Over Texas? The amusement park. That's a fun place. Riding those roller coasters. Wah! Right? They're fun. But what's the bad thing about going to Six Flags? The lines. Right? Waiting in the line. I mean, if you go during the summer, and the heat. The heat and the lines, you know. You want to ride those rides where you get wet because by the time you get back in line again, by the time you get to the front of the line, you're going to be dry again. But they got this new thing now. My boss at work says money solves everything. And of course, that's the way the world thinks. But sometimes it does come in pretty handy. They got this new thing now where you can pay to get in, and you're supposed to be able to ride everything free, But if you want to give them more money, you get this VIP access thing. And you can cut to the front of the line. They got this normal zigzag line that everybody's in, and then they got this VIP line. And you clip this thing on your belt buckle and you show it to them, and then you just walk over here in this line and you're about the third guy there. Money does come in handy. Amen? It buys you access. Right? Now, it's kind of fun, actually, and maybe that's a bad part of my thinking, to kind of look at all those poor saps over there sweating in line. As I walk around this huge line, I've got the access. Oh, I'm next? Okay. Now, that kind of backfired on me because they had this Superman ride. They strap you in, it shoots you up three stories in about 3 seconds and drops you in 3 seconds. And I saw it from a distance, and I thought, I don't know if that'd be fun or not. It looks kind of scary. But then we walked up, and she goes, well, let's walk up there and get a little closer look. We walked up there, and they got that VIP access, and okay, I'm going. And I never really looked at what this thing was doing. So they strapped me in there, and I'm next to these teenage boys, and I'm looking. They got more than one of them. I look across at this other one, and it catapults these people up three stories at Mach 9 and then drops you in free fall. And I looked at that kid next to me, and I said, is that really what this does? And he looked at me like I was crazy. Yeah. And I said, what was I thinking? Oh, my gosh. Talk about scary. I mean, it's just like someone dropping you out of a skyscraper, free fall. My butt never touched the chair all the way down. I'm just in free fall. Can a preacher say butt? Oh, I guess I did. Anyway, VIP access, right? Access. Right on in. Access. Access to God. You know, sometimes we sell ourselves short. We forget what prayer is. You know, the Bible talks about how prayer comes up before God as a sweet aroma. The reason why we don't get what we pray for is not because we're not praying. It's that we're not praying with the understanding in faith that my prayer is actually going right in front of God. That God, who can do anything, can answer my prayers. This is why Jesus had to tell the story of the unjust judge. That because people don't have faith mixed with their prayers. And he said, even though this judge didn't care about anyone, the woman got everything she wanted because she kept asking. And the reason why we don't get what we want is because we forget that our prayer is actually accessing God's throne. And that God actually hears it and that God will do it. Amen? And so we need faith. We don't need to pray more. We need to pray more in faith. Amen? Ooh. Get me on my... Daniel prayed. You know, the king understood it was political. There's a lot of political stuff going on now. And, you know, that was the time when there was a lot of political things going on then. In fact, Nebuchadnezzar is a type of the Antichrist, but I think later he got saved. Remember, he erected an image, made everybody worship it. That's what the Antichrist is going to do. And, you know, politics was involved there. The people didn't like Daniel because he was blessed and he was showing them up, and so they made him sign this law. Next thing he knows, he's trapped by his own legal system, and he has to throw Daniel in a lion's den. And he didn't want to. By now, he had come to love Daniel. And so finally, he shouts in there, Daniel, did the God who you serve continually. Now, how'd you like to have that kind of testimony? Continually. Was he able to keep you? Live forever, O king. For this night, the Lord sent an angel. Close the mouth of the lion. Here's a man who had faith in the power of prayer. He knew he had access to God. Amen. Jonah. You know what? You don't have to do everything perfect. Jonah ran from God. He went the wrong way. But when he prayed in that fish's belly, God heard him. Don't you let the devil tell you you don't have any right to go to the throne of God. If you put your faith in Jesus Christ, doesn't matter if you, you know, I heard T.D. Jake say, sometimes preachers are preach sermons on repentance the day after they repented. That's what Jonah did. Here's a preacher preaching repentance the day before he had to repent. Think about it. It doesn't matter what you did. You may have fallen flat on your face. But if you ask God to forgive you, you're forgiven. Now get up and go access the throne room of God. And when Jonah prayed in the belly of the fish, God heard him. Amen. Paul and Silas praying in prison. Jailbirds in prison for preaching the gospel. You know, and some people say, well, you know, I guess this is it. Well, it's not over till it's over. It's not over till God says it's over. Amen. Devil should have killed me when he had me, but it's too late now. And some of you people were in the crosshairs of the big guns of hell, but you're still standing today, not because of your anything, but because of God. Amen. Hallelujah. And so Paul and Silas prayed. The original jailhouse rock. Doors open up. Poor guy, he's ready to kill himself. Hey, don't do yourself no harm. We're still here. And when you pray and God shakes things, somebody's going to get saved at your testimony. Because it's not all about you. Peter prayed. Peter was in prison when he prayed. By the way, if anybody ends up in jail, I'm not judging you, because some of the greatest men of God ended up in jail. Amen? Well, good things can happen in jail. It's a great place to pray. I've never been in jail, but if I ever am, I'll be praying. Now, here's the problem, and really this is kind of the main point of the sermon. We're still on access, the second A. When God sent the angel to get Peter out of jail, the church was praying. The Bible says prayer was made by the church and the God for Peter, book of Acts. Prayer was made by the church and the God for Peter. And so God answered the prayer because we have access. So the angel comes in, has to kick Peter on the side, because when you're a man of God, you can sleep anywhere. Ah, praise God. God's got this. He's sound asleep. Angel has to whack him with his stick. Wake up, Peter. Put your shoes on. We're going somewhere. He thought he was in a trance. Walking along. Okay, there you say. And the prison doors are open. Doors are opening automatically. Look like Obi-Wan Kenobi. Everything's just opening. He ends up with the only gate that doesn't open is the one that the church has. The devil's gates are all opening. Ooh, can't say amen, say ouch. They're inside having a prayer meeting, and none of them have any faith. See, you got to have faith when you pray. They're praying, and Peter's knocking at the gate and can't get in. And they send a young girl out, and she comes and says, Peter's at the gate knocking. Oh, you're crazy. Shut up, we're praying for Peter. They don't believe him. The church is full of roast beef and unbelief. God help us. We need to have faith when we pray. Amen? And so she comes back again. Now I'm telling you, Peter's, oh, it must be his angel. They done killed him. Lord help us. I believe that God is getting ready to do some things. And I believe that the church is going to be right in the middle of it. And I don't care what the Pope says, and I don't care what Obama says, and I don't care what the economy says. I know what God says. We are the church triumphant. We are the bride of Christ. We are a city set on a hill that cannot be healed. We're the salt of the earth, the light of the world, and this is the finest hour for the people of God who have access to the throne of God. Can I get an amen? Amen. Hallelujah! Amen. And so let the other churches have unbelief. I believe we have access to the throne of God, and when we pray, God is going to move. Amen? Amen. Don't you let me catch you doubting. I'll smack you. You thought I was going to hit you, didn't you? Number three. Number one, assurance. Number two, access. Number three, agreement. Matthew 18:20. If one can send 1,000 to flight, two sends 10,000. That's a new math, isn't it? Jesus said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I right in the midst of them. Now, when the psalmist said, if one will send 1,000 to flight, two 10,000, this is what's called in math exponential. You see, x equals y is linear. Y equals x. Go over one, you go up one. Go over one like stairs, right? Straight line. But y equals x squared is exponential. 1, 1, 2, 4, 3, 9. You get the picture, you're squaring it, and it makes what's called a parabola, a curve, and it just keeps going up, right? For every step forward, it goes up a whole lot more, and a whole lot more, and a whole lot more. And the Bible understands this. This is called the prayer of agreement, amen? Where two come together in agreement in prayer. There is power in prayer in agreement. Two is better than one, and a threefold cord is what? Not easily broken, right? You want to have strength in your prayer, have agreement in your prayer, amen? When we come and we pray on Tuesday night, we pray together for certain things. We have our time where we get on our knees and ask God to forgive us of whatever we might have done and plead the blood over us and our family and pray for our friends. But then we come together, and like we do here, we have prayer agreement time, because the power of agreement is exponential. Can I get an amen? It is exponential. If one can send 1,000 to 10,000, that's tenfold. I like tenfold, don't you? I like tenfold in my finances. I like tenfold in my marriage. I like tenfold in my ministry. I like tenfold in my health. Glory to God, tenfold is much better than onefold. Amen. And so when you have a need and you want to pray, find someone to agree with you. Now make sure they're not one of those people like in the book of Acts that isn't going to believe it. Say, well, do you really believe this? Well, I don't know. Get out of here. I don't want you. I want someone that believes this stuff. Amen. Don't be playing church games with me. If you believe God can do it, I believe He can do it. Amen? You know, I was sharing with the men yesterday at men's breakfast. When Abraham had that figure eight covenant, those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, God put Abraham in a trance and the sacrifice was cut. And back in those days when the Jews would have a covenant with another man, they would walk in a figure eight around the sacrifice. Well, God had a torch going in a figure eight. It was a one-sided covenant. It was God saying, I'm going to have this covenant with you. And you don't have to do anything. The only thing Abraham did was believe God. And it was accounted to him for righteousness, right? Well, right after that, then there was this power in prayer that wasn't present with Abraham before. And he had the audacity to negotiate with God about Sodom and Gomorrah. Well, if there's 50 righteous, will you not spare it? If there's 40, if there's 30. Now, he wasn't being disrespectful. He was saying, you know, Don't be angry with me. I know you're God and I'm just man, but, and he was using the word. He was using God's justice. If you're a just God, how can you do this? And he negotiated with God over this. And that's really what prayer is. It's when I come to God and I remind him of his word and I say, God, you said in your word that my whole family will be saved. Therefore, get to work on them. Right? Now, that's not being disrespectful. That's saying, God, I am a man of faith, and I know that you're not a liar. Isn't it time you started getting them boys in line with you? You see what I'm saying? And so we can do that. We have power. Now, you say, well, God hadn't came to me with some kind of covenant. Oh, yes, he did. Jesus said, this is the new covenant in my blood. Amen. It goes back to the first day. I got the blood. I got the covenant. Amen. And because I have the covenant, I have power in prayer. And I can do things that I never dreamed of before. And so I have assurance and I have access, and now I have agreement, and it's exponential. Because of the blood, I have assurance. Come on up, Nola. Because I have assurance, I have access. And because I have access, I can have the power of agreement. Amen. The power of agreement. Now, this ought to change the way you pray. None of that, now I lay me down to sleep. Praying the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, pray the Lord my soul to take. Right? How many of you guys ever prayed that before? We prayed it as kids. Nothing wrong with praying it. Lord, bless my home. Bless my ministry. Bless my children. Open the windows of heaven. Meet every need in my life. Lord, bring people in my life that I can minister to. Use me in this last day of harvest. Lord, make a way where there is no way. Make my crooked path straight. Lord, make my feet like hinds feet that I can run on my high places. Lord, give me victory over every enemy in my life. We can pray with assurance because we have access and because of agreement. Now, that's good. Somebody say, all right.
All right.
All right. That's the fourth A. I told you three, but this is the icing on the cake. It's called all right. You ready, Noah? Come on, stand up.
I'll find it. Hold on.
Be all right. Sing it with us.
Well, I got a feeling everything's gonna be all right. I got a feeling everything's gonna be all right. I got a feeling everything's gonna be all right. Be all right. Be all right. Be all right.
One more time.
I got a feeling everything's gonna be all right. I got a feeling everything's gonna be all right. I got a feeling everything's gonna be all right. Be all right, be all right, be all right.
Amen. Lift your hands to heaven. Let's pray. Father, I